All right. Welcome to the Tell Me Your Story podcast with Stan Hootie. And I am filled with talent today in the podcast studio because, and Heather will appreciate this is a Stan and Shen joint, as I've invited in our business editor, Shenandoah. Shenandoah, I was just at the school today doing football. I apologize. So this is the way we kick this off now. So she's already mad at me. I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed.
That's it. So I invited Shen in as our business editor to bring in the very talented and lovely Heather Lent, the owner of Bittersweet Chocolate. And the ask of bringing Shen in on this was that at times inseparable, but when we're on J Street, we have to go see Heather at Bittersweet.
Oh, yes, obviously.
It is like a stop.
The chocolate-covered Oreo.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much, guys.
So that's why, you know, I saw you posted that you're turning, you know, Bittersweet is turning 20 the end of this month. And I talked to Shen, and I'm like, here's what I think I want to do. I want to bring her on the podcast and do the Tell Me Your Story, but I want to bring you in because – obviously, our relationship with you as a business owner and as a person saving our bacon on summer night, literally giving us cover and just being a go-to and everything you've done. And she was agreeable and then you were agreeable. So this is kind of like magic.
I just want to note that the timing's actually perfect because it coincides right with the start of our Schenectady series too, where we're looking at Schenectady past, present, future, the past, you know, 25 years later. And I mean, you've almost, you know, you've been in this area for that, almost a span of that. So you've also been one of those people who's sort of really seen Schenectady change over the years, seen J Street change over the years. And so I think that's a good way to like sort of jump us off here is just like, you know, in your 20 years, how much have you watched this city grow, prosper, change?
A lot. I mean, my full 20 years has not been in Schenectady, but I have been in and out of Schenectady for that whole time because my family is here. So even before my store was on J Street, I was on J Street. I'll have like Facebook memories from like 15 years ago where I'm like, wow, J Street's really cute now. And my store wasn't even there yet. So it's just amazing to see. I'm so happy and proud of us for sure.
When did... You're celebrating 20.
Yes.
So were you like the easy bake oven because you're like 26? So what was the evolution? What was the inspiration of Bittersweet? What was the evolution of that? Because we know you of J Street. That's like our last 5 years together has been J Street and Heather and the gang and everybody down there. So how did the Bittersweet story begin?
So it started, I was a...
Wait, hold on. Is it Bittersweet?
I mean, it is.
I had to get that one in there.
It kind of is.
I just had to.
It's literally named after me, so let's just keep that real. So Bittersweet Candy started. I was a career bartender, and every holiday season we would all, like, do gifts for each other. I would, like, bake cookies 1 year or whatever, and then 1 year I got it in my head I wanted to make peppermint bark. So, like, I did peppermint bark. I did it in little, like, mason jars before everything was in mason jars. And I gave it to everybody I worked with, and they loved it. And then the next year, they were like, hey, are you making that peppermint bark again? And I was like, well, I was going to do something different. They're like, no, that's what we want. But also, can we, like, order some from you? Like, we want to give it as gifts. So can you, like, make some extra? So that year, I was like, all right, cool. I made gifts, and then I sold some just to, like, friends and family type of things. And after that season, I kind of made the decision that that's what I want to do. So I just went, started in Poughkeepsie, actually. I went, made the DBA or whatever you do when you first start a business. And shortly thereafter, found a storefront in Poughkeepsie. And it was the beginning of a recession. And I was still bartending full time, doing the store. I didn't like that location. I moved to a more foot traffic location. Still working, bartending like crazy, trying to run the store, and it just didn't work. And it was bittersweet because it was like soul crushing to like work as hard as you physically can and not succeed. Because I'm a like just work harder and it'll eventually be okay type of person, and it just wasn't. And I didn't know what to do, so I closed the stores. I still kept the website open. I have a lot of wholesale customers, so I was still working, actively doing it in a, you know, offsite commercial kitchen type of thing, and did that for years. And then when I moved upstate, I was initially looking in Saratoga. I moved to Saratoga, bartended up there, looked around, was trying to find the perfect property. And then as I was spending so much time in Schenectady, where my family is, I was realizing more and more that Saratoga was not the correct choice for me. It was Schenectady. So that's kind of how it all started and how I ended up here. And then I opened into COVID.
So is for us that know you with the J Street location, is that then the spot when you landed in Schenectady, or did you?
So no, because I couldn't find a building, because real estate people knew what I knew, that Schenectady was about to pop off. So I would look at a building and I'd be like, this is the building. And then it would be sold. And then I would be like, this is the building. And it would be sold. And I actually was getting frustrated, and the Clinton Street Mercantile was opening up. And that was a maker space where you could just like rent out a small space and sell your goods. So I was like, well, I'll have a presence in Schenectady if I'm in the Clinton Street Mercantile. And then one day I was on J Street and a friend of mine was like, hey, this spot is for rent. And I said, I don't want to rent. It's a lot of money for the plumbing and all the work that goes into a kitchen. And he was like, oh, it's an old bakery. So I went, I looked at it. I was like forcing cash into my landlord's hand. He was like, well, you know, aggressively. I loved it the second I walked in there and knew that's where I was supposed to be. So it was like for the spot I'm in, it was love at first sight.
The timing had finally worked out.
Yeah. So I am where I'm supposed to be, because with a candy store, you need foot traffic, right? So J Street arguably has some of the best foot traffic in downtown Schenectady. And like, you don't wake up in the morning thinking you're going to a candy store unless it's like around the holidays. But then you're walking down the candy store. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're a little tired and you're like, I could use an Oreo. So foot traffic is key. And I did need to be on J Street. And so everything that didn't work out put me in the place that I am supposed to be.
I just want to note that I do wake up in the morning to have to go. I need to go to a candy store. In fact, this morning was one of those mornings, but I did not make it there. But I do have a question, just to back up, because you mentioned you're from Poughkeepsie, and I've got to ask. We have a person in this office who's also from said area.
Okay.
I did time in Fishkill.
Okay.
Is it called Wedge?
Full disclosure. Oh, Lord.
This is our sandwich debate in the office. What do you call it down there?
Sub, hoagie, wedge, grinder.
It's not a wedge.
Right? I don't use the word wedge. I've heard it.
Thank God. I like you even more because of that.
Yes.
But I also, the one thing I dislike about Chad.
Sorry, Chad. Sorry, I couldn't have your back on that. PK represent, but
I hate it even more after learning how the guy came up with it. He just got tired of saying sandwich because apparently he had so many customers saying the word sandwich was too hard.
Did he mention the business?
Yes, it's in the story, but I can't recall what it is off the top of my head. And I want to say, it's in that area that they say it, but I want to say the store wasn't even in that area. It's more of like sort of New York City, Long Island, maybe.
So I was going to say that's even south of Poughkeepsie. Yeah. I'd say that goes Poughkeepsie south for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it's not a ledge. Yeah. Thank goodness. I had to ask. I had to get it out the way. I had it written down. I was like, we got to ask for Bria.
I saw you feverishly taking notes. I didn't know it was about sandwiches.
Very important topic. But back to chocolate.
Oh, God.
Back to Heather. And, you know, again, you were doing this as a baker, as a bartender, and then you decided to do this. Was it always in the family? Was it something you likened, or did we just like, I'm just going to do this?
It was literally me just doing something and liking it. And I've always wanted to figure out how to do something I love and make money at it. We all work a lot. So why do something that makes you miserable? You should definitely just like try to find the one thing that makes you happy and see if there's a way to monetize that. So when I started doing it and I was really loving it and I was making people happy, which is another thing, right? Like you're a bartender, you're making people happy. You make candy, you make people happy. So like I make people happy for a living, which is kind of great. So it was that.
And you have options. Like I said, you want to create, you do the bark, and then you want to do something different. You're starting to expand. were you thinking, like, you're in Poughkeepsie, you're a stone's throw to CIA?
I worked at the CIA.
So Culinary Institute of America, in case Shen held a bit of a blank look on her face. Not the agency I fear, CIA, the agency I love.
Not the ones that are listening to us right now. Right.
First of all, the CIA that we all fear. I like some chocolate and fear us less. So if you're listening, you can go get some.
That's right.
Heather.
But yeah.
I knew what CIA was, though. I just want to know that.
I wasn't sure.
So the Hudson Valley is definitely, like, inspiring. And I was working at the CIA while I had this business. So I didn't necessarily take any classes there, which is unfortunate. But I was exposed to the best pastry chefs in the world, the best chocolatiers in the world. So if anything, I knew what it was supposed to look like and supposed to taste like. And I knew using the best ingredients gives you the best product. So if you're going to use a cheap chocolate, you're going to have a cheap-tasting chocolate. If you use the best chocolate as your base chocolate to make your creations, you're going to have the best-tasting chocolate. So these are things that you just pick up in such a, like, food-rich environment like is in the Hudson Valley.
So, well, I'm going to jump in here. So speaking on ingredients, you know, obviously we have a significant number of things going on in the world right now between weather and tariffs. I mean, how is that and how has it over the years, like, really impacted your business and what you do? Because if I'm not mistaken, chocolate prices are
up 70% in 5 years.
Yeah, so now Halloween candy is getting real.
Yeah.
It might just be for me.
No, it's all crazy expensive.
Yeah.
The first 10 years of my business, I never had to raise my BARC prices. I set a price. I was able to stick to that price. Just whatever day I posted that, I was sitting at my computer. I'm talking to my coworker about, like, all the plans for the anniversary party, and I'm placing my order, and the digit was wrong. Like, usually it's one price, and now it's a whole nother price. And I like, gasped, stopped my conversation, grabbed a calculator, and was like, holy crap, this just went up $2 a pound, which is earth-shattering. Like, that is a wild price jump in just – I order every week, so in 1 week, $2 a pound is just outlandish. I have a lot of wholesale customers. Their prices have already been raised. I have raised my prices once in the store and will probably have to again, unfortunately. I try to price so everybody can have chocolate. I don't want to get away from Schenectady is a working class town, and I don't want this to be such a luxury that nobody can have it. So I'm trying my hardest to keep it priced for everybody to be able to afford, but the world is fighting against me right now.
When you go into the store, it is homemade in a sense.
Chocolate heaven.
You know, and then it's the throwback to that candy that one of us grew up with, some of us knew of. And others just like.
That's a good way to put that.
Yeah. This is a little bit different. I'm not as harsh on this one. When you saw the door and you walked in and saw the layout and then you went into the back where the magic happens, you know, in your kitchen, did you envision the layout you have now when you walked in, like, I'm going to fill this with my chocolate. This is going to be bittersweet. This is like, you know, you're in a chocolate store. Mm. And then over here on this wall, this is everything I've heard of, seen from there. Or did you think the whole thing was going to be chocolate?
I never thought the whole thing was going to be chocolate just because I love the old school candies. And to your point, there is old school from every generation, right? So as we discussed earlier, some of the candies like the Reggie bar and the Sky bar, you were probably like super excited about. My generation, it would be like whatchamacallits and Chiclets, but your generation would have had their own nostalgic chocolate. So all three of us
had it the other day.
Yeah, all three of us have. I have candies from like every generation that people that are even in their 20s are like, oh, I had this when I was a kid. I loved it. So I want everybody to get that feeling, that like nostalgic, because yes, my chocolate is delicious. But then when a grown 40-something-year-old man walks in and sees a Reggie bar and his face lights up for $2, like, you can't put a price on that.
There was a good question there. It was wonderful.
Well,
go ahead.
I got, well, first of all, I had $100,000 That's my jam right there. That's my number one candy. You put that in the freezer and then you eat it after. Oh, so good. Anyways, now I'm thinking about it. But, okay, speaking of chocolate, you do the bark. You do, like, chocolate-covered Oreos. Anything new coming up?
A couple of things new coming out. People have been begging me for a couple things, and just with time constraints, I recently have something that I have never had before. I am training a new employee to work in the front with the people, package candy.
Wait, you were hiring? I could have applied? Oh, man, missed opportunity.
You can be an official taster.
Okay, I will take that.
But add that to the resume.
She's also going to help me in the kitchen a bit, which will allow me to come out with the stuff that people have been asking for. Number one request that's coming up soon, peanut butter cups.
Oh,
and not just peanut butter cups, like cups with all the things, like homemade mallow cups.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, mallow cups. Yeah. Oh, I forgot how much those are good.
Yeah. So I have some of those coming up. I have turtles coming up, which everybody's been asking for. And I might as well tell you one of the barks that is coming up. It's a little crazy. Chicken and waffles bark.
Ooh, I like it. I'm ready.
Hear me out. So it's chicken skins, which are a little spicy, some Nashville spice, like on a regular chicken and waffles, the maple candies, some of that chopped up so you get the maple syrup taste, and waffle cones. So it'll be chicken skins, which have a nice spicy crunch to them, waffle cones, and the very sweetness of maple candy. Sounds crazy, tastes delicious.
So, how do you come up with this?
I don't know, and I swear I wasn't stoned when I came up with that one. That sounds like a stoner idea.
Listen, if you ever need ideas, I feel like I can definitely give you a few.
Jot things down. I mean, the fish and chips bark is one of our most popular, and that came from the tater trot because I need to come up with something that had potatoes in it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, Swedish fish. Like, I like the, like, crunchy, sweet, savory combo. And I was just going to do them for that. And then everybody was like, no, we want that year round.
So that was really good. I remember eating that at the
table. Yeah, you guys had that. So, I mean, I obviously have, like, more traditional barks, but those are some of the new things that are coming out. And, yeah, the chicken and waffles I've been wanting to do for a really long time. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that.
I'm going to have to go take down notes of every bark she already currently has so I don't give her any.
Well, I think for the Christmas gift-giving section.
Yeah.
That the business editor will probably be in charge of.
Yes. Always.
So I do remember the question now. Is the recipe, did you know it, find it? How long did it take to get to where you are now? Because part of, again, being a mixologist,
mm-hmm.
you know, baking and things like that, it's more exacting than a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, like mom's sauce.
Wait, that's not how you cook?
I'm a baker, so everything's exact.
Exact, yes.
The bride is, she has to, like, literally think of everything because it's...
When I cook, I just open the cupboard and go, what's seasoning today?
So when I cook, I do that. But when you bake, and especially with chocolate, very, very specific. It's a bunch of, like, making things a lot of times and making your friends and family eat it and like, honestly critique you. I have very good friends and family that will be like, I love this, but this is too salty for my taste. Or I love this, but I didn't love this part of it. Or that is way too spicy for normal humans or whatever like that. So it's just thinking, coming up with an idea. And there are some that are classic. Like I make cranberry almond bark. Everybody makes cranberry almond bark. It's not something I invented. It's like figuring out the ratios. So you just make it a couple of times until you get to the point where you like it, and then that's the recipe. And, yeah, I don't even look at recipes anymore at this point. I'm just doing it.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Dubai chocolate. It's very popular right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Do you have it? Or are you getting it?
So.
Some of these are self-serving questions, but I'm also curious because it is very popular right now. This is like one of the most popular chocolates on TikTok.
What is Dubai chocolate? Why is it hot?
Okay, it's hot because of TikTok.
Everything
I have to have TikTok just to find out candy trends because there are things that will just come up like tiny wax bottles that we've seen our entire lives. I can't keep on the shelves right now because some kid drank it on TikTok and now everybody has to have
some 14-year-old with
exactly
was like, oh my god.
So these kids are pushing candy economy, which is wild. Yeah. So the Dubai chocolate is, I don't know who invented it. I don't know where it came from. I started seeing it quite a while ago. I have made them. They are beautiful and delicious. They're difficult, expensive, and delicate, and that is just not what I want to do. So I have been working on, and I am almost done with a Dubai chocolate bark. So it will be the same thing, but like less gooey. Like the gooey texture really like didn't do it for me. So it'll have all the delicious flavors. It's pistachio. They do pistachio paste. I'm doing my own version of that, which I'm currently working on. And I will not be able to pronounce it, but it's like kafiki or some sort of shredded phyllo dough, which gives it a cool, crunchy texture. There's tahine in it, which is sesame seed paste. And yeah, I'm working on a Dubai chocolate bark, which will be out very, very soon. So I will send emails right away.
Let me know if you need a taste tester.
I will.
I've actually never had Dubai chocolate. I had it.
Just like TikTok.
It's just so popular.
Gotcha.
Right. The bars are like $45 a piece, yeah. Even if I made them, and like that just isn't the price point that I want to be at. So it's,
you should never have to spend that much on chocolate.
Yeah, happy. And it's just for a trend. It's not because it's any more special than anything else that we're eating.
Yeah.
So I just don't. I try to not get into that, but do my version of the trend.
I'm okay with a whole bag of Hershey Kisses. Don't give me a bag of Hershey Kisses because they'll be gone. Like, I'm wild when it comes to chocolate.
Yes.
Except white chocolate.
Which we'll get to. Does chocolate itself get a bad rap?
Yes. Well, and rightfully so, because some chocolate involves child labor and environmental consequences and things like that. And I think it's like every chocolatier's responsibility to source correctly, which I do. So the chocolate that I use is called Guittard. Everybody's able to go look them up and see their fair practices and how they work with families and farms and all the things. But chocolate gets a bad rap because in other countries, children are used in the processing and not given what they deserve. Gotcha. So
the bad rap, the sugar.
Oh, sugar.
The moms. Yeah. The dentist that every kid's gone to an Ivy League school because of chocolate.
Yeah, that's worse candy.
You know what I mean? Is that like, is it just moderation with like everything?
Actually, chocolate, straight from my dentist, is one of the better ones to have. Because if you're having like Sour Patch Kids or something that you're chewing on, gummy, they stick into your teeth longer. Where chocolate, if you have a little drink of something, in my opinion, you should brush after any sweet. Or at least rinse. Like, I have mouthwash in the back of my store. If I taste something, I go in the bathroom, I rinse my mouth. That way, no cavities. But chocolate sticks to your teeth less than other candies would. So it's actually, if you're worried about that sort of thing, it's better. In my non-dentist opinion, by the way.
And dark chocolate's actually a really healthy part of your diet.
That's why I'm a huge fan.
Certain percentage of dark chocolate, yeah. That's why it's one of my favorites.
In moderation.
In moderation, yes. Everything is good in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we have all made this joke. We've all talked about this joke. And I think we've talked to you about it too, is you taste everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the new employees in. And one of the things I know Shen's working on for the fall food section is about an app for, in a sense, day of food, not mm-hmm. day late, but day of food and things like that. That way it goes because, you know, you get that new employee and like, oh my God, I'm going to work in a chocolate store and like they're going to gom all this chocolate and then all of a sudden it fizzles out. You know, is that true? And then what's it like for you because you're exposed to it? It's your life every day. So how do you balance not getting tired of it?
I think I just limit my intake. So as somebody watching blood sugar and making sure I, as a candy store owner, don't end up with diabetes, I sample very little. If I make something new, I'll try it. If, you know, we got like new Swedish gummies that I wanted to try, like we will open a bag and all taste it together. So, I just try to not graze for sure and just taste as needed. Anybody that works for me is able to, but nobody has been gluttonous about it. Like, I encourage people to taste, if you're packaging salty pretzel bark, you should taste salty pretzel bark so you understand what it tastes like and such. So I encourage tasting. I don't encourage sitting down with a pound of chocolate and eating it to the face. No shade. No shade, Jen.
I'm very 80-20 in life. Sometimes 20 is a pound of chocolate. Sometimes it's a whole pie.
We're in a judgment-free zone. Not Stan, apparently. But.
Yeah. That was straight judgment.
That was straight judgment.
There was like a pound of chocolate.
I've enabled my podcast co-host in the past, and
I've seen you bring chocolates here from the store here.
Well, somebody got.
One time he brought a bag and it was gone that day.
No, I'm talking about the cookie dough.
Oh, yeah. He makes a cupcake that has a cookie dough on top of it. And I asked for just the cookie dough and he made a whole container and I ate it in 2 days.
It was a quart container.
And then I did not feel well.
And I begged her not to do this.
Yeah. And I've learned my lesson since.
But this is the first time she told me that she didn't feel well afterwards, because I was petrified, because you know the infamous, if you overdo, then you never have it again.
Well, why would I tell you?
Yeah. I should tell you. She's not going to cut off her nose to spite her face. She needs that cookie dough.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Just a small one next time.
Well, that's like when you would give me like leftover cupcakes and you give me like a six pack and I'd eat like four of them in like one sitting. And it's like, shouldn't have done that.
She didn't have to have all four.
No, but sometimes, you know, when you just have something so good and you rarely get it.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
yeah, I mean, they're better fresh. That's just logic.
But I will say this. Like, I'm one of those people, like, this is why I don't keep a lot of sweets in my house, because I have a huge sweet tooth and I know how I am. Like, the sweetest thing I have in my apartment currently is granola bars. And I'm limiting myself to two before the gym. And that's it.
There are zero sweets in my house.
Yeah.
I'm very good at work. I feel like at home, it's a different story. Yeah. And I will eat them. So there's just
because the minute your brain is like relaxed, you're like, dinner or chocolate cake? Yeah. You know, what's going to be easier?
Favorite season? Is it because we live the same life? I'm still, you know, 10% of my week in retail. Probably out of sheer boredom, because I do that. But we're supposed to enjoy the holidays, but for anyone who runs a business, works in a business that's retail-oriented, that's serving the masses, it's the best time of year, it's the worst time of year. How were the holidays for you? Because it is your literal Black Friday, fourth quarter, make or break. How's the holidays for you?
Business-wise, amazing. It's when I make most of my money for the year. Starting basically in September, September, October, November, December are crazy. We have a little break and then go right into Valentine's Day and Easter. So it's crazy, crazy busy for me. Personally, I do nothing but shower, change, go to work, shower, change, go to work, shower, change, go to work for quite some time. And that is part of it. I'm not sad or mad about that. That is just what it is. My friends call it like No Heather November, because can I go out for drinks? No. Can I join you for dinner? No. Like, I'm not going to do anything fun. I'm just going to work for a couple months and then I'll see everybody after that. So that's just part of the beast of having a holiday, not holiday themed, but definitely a business that relies heavily on the holidays.
We're kind of going backwards here, but I know this is definitely in Shen's wheelhouse here. Your affinity for J Street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. I think it's hard for either one of us to think of J Street and not think of Heather and Bittersweet and the J Street Marketplace, because I don't think I'm wrong. We think of you as part of the lifeblood.
You're not
every organ there, but you're a huge part. You're the big gear. You got your storefront, you got in. I got to pay the rent. I got to make money. I got to be able to spend money. And then when did this kind of cooperative ownership happen for J Street with yourself and everybody else that you speak of all the time, because you are such a source for us for new businesses and changes and things coming in. So
intense.
I'm your local tent dealer. Just when I got there, one of the notable things, I think you guys did a nice picture of us for Women's Month. I mean, mostly women-owned businesses, which is really cool. Obviously, there's men. We love them too. But it's just great to see so many women just working together. I feel like there's this stereotype that women don't get along, and that's just not true. Like, I love all the women that are my neighbors and the men, and we just work together. Nobody wants to be around bad energy. Like, if you've ever been to a restaurant where you can tell all the employees hate each other, you don't want to go to that restaurant. It's not fun. It's not good energy. So, like, when you come onto J Street, I want the energy to be great. I want you to go to the Irish shop and they're like, oh, do you have this? And she's like, no, but Heather does. And then somebody comes to me and they're like, do you have this? And I'm like, no, but Baron Bird has that. So we know that together we are going to win bigger than if we just did it by ourselves. And that's just smart business and, like, good for your life and mental health too. Again, going back to, like, good working environments. J Street is essentially my office, right? So my store is where it is, but then I spend most of my life on J Street. So of course I want it to be a wonderful environment for me and for you. So I love it there.
Are we seeing that energy? And we just ran a piece on Sunday in the Daily Gazette talking about the Schenectady area in 25 years, where it's been, where it's going to, and things like
Thursday,
that.
Well, Thursday, but yes.
Thursday. Sorry.
Sorry.
We have the Sunday feature is just drilled
in. Sunday with Simone's and the pooling.
Also J Street.
Yeah, also
great
J
article.
Bashir killing it.
Yeah. Yes.
By our business editor.
Thank you.
The J Street, is that energy finally starting to blow out and get on to, you know, is it getting contagious? Is that what you want to see? Is that the perfect?
100%. So to the point where J Street Marketplace has a business association. I'm the president of that. There's the board, and we are the people that put the live music out and bring Santa to J Street and do a lot of, like, the local events. We are changing our bylaws to include neighboring businesses that we feel like have good energy and want to be part of what we are doing and get that good J Street energy out. I gave you an example of Hat Pin Peril that just opened. So it's right around the corner. It's not on J Street. It's on State Street. But it's, 10 feet away from J Street. And the owner wants to be a part of the J Street Business Association and join in with us. Of course she's going to be allowed. And my friend Tony is opening Tony's Wine Bar, which is two streets away.
We did a story on that, yeah.
Is it Barrett? I can't remember.
I think it's Barrett, yeah.
So she's two streets away from us. If she wants to join when she's ready, of course we're going to allow her because we love that good energy. The people that own Maxon's are going into the old novel space. They want to join, let's go. Because we want our whole area to have that great, and we already do. Like, Mila's is friends with all of us backstage, Hunter's on Jay. Like, we are a huge small business community that goes out of our way to work with each other constantly. And I think we're very lucky in that, but we also, it's more than luck because we actively work to make that happen.
We know it's great. Our exposure, it's been great. Was it always that easy? And if it was, did that surprise you?
I think when I first got there, it was more of a challenge. There are old crab apples in every group, right? Like, and those people are just born to be grouches. And then you just don't allow those people in your space, right? So not like physical space, I mean like emotional space. Like, I just don't have time or energy in my room for people that aren't like giving their best and trying to make things better instead of like complaining and being a dark cloud type of people. So there was a little bit of that right when I first got there, and I was like, well, this isn't who I am, and this is not what I'm going to be a part of. And
immediately things just started turning, and I love that. And every new business that opens, every one of us just goes out of our way to like reach out. Hey, do you need anything? Like, I spoke to Laura from Maxon's just the other day, and I was like, if there's anything that you guys need, just come over, let me know. I can introduce you to the people that you need to talk to about these things or whatever. So I think we're just all trying really hard to see Schenectady rise up together, all of us.
Are you going to ask the hard-hitting question?
Oh, God. It's horrifying.
What was the hard-hitting question?
Oh.
How is that? I think it's this
one. We discussed this, so it's not a surprise to you, but for the podcast.
White chocolate, milk chocolate, or dark chocolate?
And ruby chocolate, because we had that whole conversation, yes, too. So there's four. Dubai is a fad, so.
Well, we're going with the three staples right now.
We're going with three?
What ruby chocolate is, so we'll have that in the set.
That might have been a prize. That might have been a
drop. We had a side conversation about the ruby chocolate.
Okay. You didn't talk about chocolate without me?
You were there. I think you were talking to somebody else, and you were continuing.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, it was summer night, so there was a lot going on.
Yes, there was.
At one point,
I gave a box to somebody to put a fake gun in. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Not typical.
It's when I have Shen on. Tell me your story. It'll be like, remember the time with the fake gun?
I would have too many stories for tell me your story.
Two-part series.
I don't know. I mean, so I love dark chocolate. But I love milk chocolate too, and I like white chocolate. So I'm not gonna
love. So that's bottom tier. We know where it stands.
But if they were just plain by themselves, I would pick dark. But like the white chocolate that I gave to you, because I know you hate white chocolate, has cherries and pistachios in it.
I will try.
And I feel like that combo is a very nice combo with the white chocolate.
So that's the thing, is white chocolate only work, it doesn't work by itself. It needs to complement something. Like, I will have white chocolate and a red velvet white chocolate macadamia cookie.
Yes.
Those
are good. Yes. Those are good.
I could go for like a whole batch right now. But like, and I like it in bark, like, you know, when it has like the little peppermint flavor in it, mm-hmm, and you mix it with, that's good.
It needs help.
Yes.
So what I think you're saying, now that I'm thinking about it, if there were three candy bars, just plain chocolate.
Yeah, just plain chocolate.
I would eat the dark one.
Yeah.
And then that's the milk one. And I probably wouldn't eat a plain white candy bar because I think it's too much for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
That's my thing. Like, I don't like it where if it's like more than like 50% white chocolate, it needs to have like some other flavor combination in there. That, I guess, makes the white chocolate not so heavy. Because, like, dark chocolate is only heavy if you get up to, like, a certain percentage, I feel like. Then it gets to be a little much.
I don't like those high percentages.
Yeah.
Like, baking chocolate. Yeah. It's not my jam at all.
Yeah. So, like, you get a nice, like, 70%. Like, that's good. But that's not to say that dark chocolate, too, doesn't also need the help. Like, you put dark chocolate with some orange.
Oh, heaven.
Oh,
dark chocolate. That's your best friend.
That's her latest on the list. That's her latest on the list out of the kitchen.
I'm all about that. We came up with that cupcake. It was going to be a chocolate base, and it was going to have the little orange candy on it. I think we talked about this.
I said it's on the menu. I just haven't brought it in. So, therefore, to her, it's not on the menu. I have made it.
Until I see it.
Until if the tree falls in the woods and you don't hear it. So, for Shannon, she goes, unless she's tasted it, do you really make that? Are you sure you make that? I see it listed. I got to judge it.
I will say, though, one of my favorites there, because Stan knows to get this every single time, the coffee bar.
Oh, yes. That's the family. Brita's
Between the coffee. Coffee and toffee are my two, like, I don't know what it is about those flavors.
Coffee and chocolate are best friends. Like, they want to be best friends. Like, if you have a really dense, like, chocolate cake, there's probably a little coffee in it that you don't know about. Like, just boosting that flavor. So coffee and chocolate are besties.
That's what's in my coffee today.
See?
I got besties. That from 7 Brew, which has chocolate in it.
Nice.
And speaking of coffee and chocolate, that is my base. All of my chocolate cupcakes include coffee.
See?
To pull out the chocolate.
Yeah, flavor. You have
to wonder why I like them so much.
Yeah, it just brings out the flavor.
They're great for kids, too. I just take out the espresso. All right. You ready for the tough question?
Sure.
We have one tough question.
That wasn't a tough question?
No.
Oh.
This is shop talk. That was she knew that one was coming.
I don't know what that. Wait, what is Ruby chocolate, real quick?
Okay, yeah.
I don't really know the science behind it. Oh. I really think it's.
Is it red?
It's ruby. It's
pinkish. It's.
It's a dusty rose.
Yeah.
I gotta try this.
I think you would like it in very little amounts.
It tastes very much like white chocolate to me.
It's a sweet white chocolate.
Yeah.
So like you could, mind. But I think you could try it. I think you could try it. Okay. So before we get to the hard question, we watch television.
Mm-hmm. Do we?
We do. We do. I hope we do. If not, you're very intelligent because all you do is read. Are you watching the food shows and are you watching, I want to say Mushan, I can't remember his name, but the good-looking French guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm there for the chocolate. You're there for...
No, oh, I'm okay. Not there. He's way too pretty for me, but...
He's way too pretty and he knows it,
yeah.
Which is one reason why I don't like him.
But he's
If
amazing.
He looked like me
could
and was that...
microphone and chocolate.
This like. Is... So is that... Have you thought about it or are you just...
No, because that's...
I'm here for the masses.
Yeah. I mean, I went to art school. That's a sculpture. That's not... He's not making that because it tastes delicious. Does it taste delicious? Sure. But he's making like a piece of art, basically. It's cool. It's fun to do. I don't really have time or need to do that. That's not my thing. Like if that was my only thing and I could stand in a window and do that and people watch me, cool. I would do that, but... It's not.
It's like the butter sculpture at the fair. Like, it's cool to look at, but yeah. Who cares?
Like,
sorry, I'm not trying to put down the fair. I love the butter sculpture. I'm always amazed every year at their work.
It's like, sand, like, yeah, like the sand arts that they have at Silver Lake. Like, it's cool, but then there's a backhoe that takes it away. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like the butter, it goes to some organization and they use it and it probably ends up in a frying pan. Like, but it was cool to look at for
They're
5 seconds.
They're cool to see. Like there's like giant chocolate gorillas. Like I go to trade shows and there's always some enormous creation. They're cool. They're very, very cool to see being made. But then what?
I think the most chocolate sculpture I'm going to get is in a bunny at Easter time. Hollow. I don't like the other kind.
Oh, you want the hollow?
You're like one of the only people I've ever heard say that. Saying. They like solid.
Yeah, no.
I need unless little...
unless it has peanut butter in it, then I'll have it.
All right, I mean, yeah, but that's super fair.
Yeah, but otherwise, because they're just—it's like too much. I don't like that.
I'm the odd man out on Easter because traditionally it's the peanut butter filled egg. So I'm the odd man out because God bless my mother, she would search. The variety of CVS's and Rite Aid's and whatever drugstores there were, Five and Dimes, and I was the coconut filled egg.
Oh, I love those. I should make those. I love them.
Put that on the list.
It's already there. It's right there right now.
So that was always, I mean, I would get the egg and be tickled, and then I would hear the story of how many places she sent my father to in two different states. Because we lived on the border of Pennsylvania. Like, if did he get it in Scranton or Honesdale or Wilkes-Barre or Carbondale or, you know, Masonic Temple, who knows where. But to get that darn coconut
egg. I mean, you were in the home of chocolate in the United States. So there's so much candy manufacturing that goes on in Pennsylvania just by proximity from Hershey's.
Well, I was going to say.
One of my life goals is to go there. I just want to go to Hershey Park.
Yeah, I would like to go there too. I don't.
You
we should
been.
Make a trip.
Yeah, I know. Field trip.
Road trip. Stand and shine on the road.
We're in a road trip. Oh, I just want to go and I want to.
You can smell chocolate in the air.
Yeah.
You can smell chocolate in the air.
What a day that would be.
I like the giant peanut butter cup. Have you ever seen that? So that you can fill a peanut butter cup. They like cold stone, like fill a peanut butter. Fill the peanut butter with whatever you want and then put it in a giant peanut butter cup. It's like this big. And very unlike Hershey's, it's only $20.
Wow.
Normally, they would really ditch you for that.
We could save if they let us do a half and half.
Oh.
Oh, we should ask about that. Like, double the flavor in one.
What do you do at trade show? What's a chocolate trade show like and what do you do there?
It's glorious. It is like adult trick-or-treating. Everybody that makes any candy that you've ever thought of in your life gathers in one convention center. Sometimes it's in Chicago. Sometimes it's in Indiana. And you just walk from booth to booth. Like, if you're like, oh, I'm looking for a low sugar chocolate that doesn't use that like weird poison that none of us really like Super that much. So I'll look around and try to find stuff like that. Or, you know, I usually go with a couple things in my mind. Or, like, is there a cool Japanese candy that I want but I want to see in person? So basically every candy manufacturer has a booth, and you can go and they give you samples. I tend to take all the samples with me because the first year my friend and I made the mistake of, like, eating a lot while we were there. And then, like, legit by lunch had the straight jitters. And that's too much. So you
that would be me.
Taking everything to go and, like, eating it over sometime is the way better to go. But you literally get a bag and just walk around, and they're like, here, taste the newest slime liquor. Here, taste the newest rose chocolate. Taste the newest this. And you just get little samples of all the candy, and you get to talk to all the distributors and figure out if you can get them in upstate New York and where and how. So it's cool and fun, and I try to go every year, but don't always make it every year.
It sounds like heaven.
It's really cool. It's like one of the most fun things.
Like, I want to just go. Can I just go? I have to be off?
Yeah, you have to show credentials, yeah. Type of thing.
Oh, man.
But I can bring a guest.
Wow, we've already planned two trips.
All right, tough question. Mm. What's next for Heather Lund?
20 more years? I don't know. The chocolate prices are wild. I don't know. I think I'm just going to keep going. I have ideas for a couple bigger things coming up, but they're not all figured out and put together. I have a space on J Street that I like that's bigger, and would allow me to have an open kitchen so people could watch me making the chocolate. Which I think is a big deal. I would still keep my space for something else to be discussed at a later date. But so a bigger space, just because me being the face of my chocolate and every person that comes into my store wants to talk to me, and my kitchen is a mile back because my store is an iceberg. Basically, the smallest part of it is up front. So I'm usually in the back making candy and nobody gets to talk to me. And I just think it's fun, like, when you go on vacation and you go by Kilwin's or even the cooler, like, old-fashioned places that, like, do the taffy. I love that. I love watching people make the thing that I'm about to purchase. So what's next for me is finding, hopefully, the space I have in mind to be able to have an open kitchen and have people be able to watch me make the chocolate and talk to people about it and just include people, like, be more interactive. I would like to do some build-your-own bark nights where you guys could come and pick out all your favorite. Like, you're like, oh, I wish Heather made this one bark with all my favorite things in it. So I want to.
You should have it and make it a contest. And it's,
yeah.
I'm glad we say this for last because we just lost
you. I know. She's already imagining all of her different things.
Well, I mean, I got flavor combinations going.
But yeah, I want to be able to include people more. That was kind of always part of the original plan, but I opened into COVID. So immediately that was dashed. I was like, well, people aren't going into the kitchen. So that was over. But now moving forward, I have this setup where I'm able to do that at a smaller scale and maybe soon on a larger scale. So that's what's next, hopefully.
Can I just toss an idea out there?
Sure, let's hear it.
A bacon potato chip.
Oh, did it.
You did? Oh, my God.
Tater trot. We did it for one of the tater trots.
It had bacon in it?
Yes. And I did vegan bacon, which was wild. But that was the tater trot that got kind of, like, moved, and it was very hot that day. So the chocolate was looking a little like Go-Gurt by the end of the day. but, yeah, bacon and potato chip chocolate is as good as you think it is. I'll get some on the shelves at some point.
Okay. Let me know.
Yeah.
I'll be down.
And that also with peanut butter.
Ooh. Ooh, like if you did like a layer, not even like drizzle, like a peanut butter layer and a chocolate layer in those two together. Were those two? Oh.
I've never made a woman so happy.
I never will.
Don't tell me that doesn't sound phenomenal. Ooh, when you're doing your Reese's cups, like that's an idea right there.
Oh,
like,
that's on my list. That's already on my list.
Yeah.
I want to do peanut butter, pretzel, peanut butter, potato chip Reese's, like all the cups with all the things, caramel.
Oh, like a almost like a garbage plate cup.
I'm doing a garbage plate bark. That's on my list.
Oh, what? It's like we're two peas in a pod right now. I'm so excited. I got to come back for the peppermint bark. That's like one of my favorite candies. I'm like if I see like those who makes them, Ghirardelli, when they make their like the squares. That's like the number one, like, Shannon, what do you want for Christmas? Socks and that. Like, you don't got to get me anything else.
You have to get my peppermint bark. You love it. Yes, if you like
I know. Just,
them.
Steal will,
just send it to me. Okay. I'm the one who usually does the shopping in this podcast relationship. So this has been an absolute pleasure to have my regular co-host on as part of this extended podcast where we talk to very important people and get a chance to find out more about them. So
you missed something. Regular and favorite, but
we put a pin in favorite.
I did bring chocolate today. So.
Yes. So that's why.
Well, you're our favorite guest.
Yes. 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 So it's don't let Maureen know. But
sorry,
yeah.
Rich.
Yeah. Sorry, Jason.
He did give us the fanny pack, the Schenectady College, which is nice, which I can use to hold my chocolate when I and go you buy it.
Over the side.
Over
like
the side.
A trendy
person. Yeah, over, like the a side. Person. Over the side. Be trendy. So thank you so much for coming and congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you at the party.
And
wait, when is the party? I need to know.
It's September – oh, my God. Is it 6th or 7th? It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
I don't know. Oh,
if it's the 7th, that's my grandma's birthday. What a great way to spend that if I can't make it home. Yeah. Grandma, what'd you do for your birthday?
I bought chocolate for you, and then I ate it.
And then I ate it.
It'll be on – there'll be an invitation.
It'll be, okay. It'll be there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I loved it. It was so fun.